Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Bible Study. I hope this is a blessing to you, and we appreciate your participation with us through this media. Now, let's get to the sermon. So let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and this is our key verses. But what we're going to do today is we're going to walk through some lessons from the life of a king you may not be familiar with. His name is Asa. You've heard of the name, I'm sure, if you live in Arkansas. But this is who this guy is named for. But we want to see, we're just going to look at these verses and let them speak for themselves. And then we're going to see how it applies to his life. So 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. And if you would you stand out of respect for God's word? Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, and he was found by them." Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would just speak through your word and through the examples given to us in Scripture that you say are written for our admonition, that we might learn from them, Lord. These are not just interesting historical stories to tickle our ears, but they are real life people who walked with you and strayed from you and found repentance with you and found revival even, Lord. And so we ask you, Lord, to teach us in light of us walking with you and in the realities we often stray from you and we all need repentance in order to find the revival that we need and that we cry out for, both in our hearts and in our homes, in our church and in our country. Lord, it is not anything for you whether to help with many or with those who have no power, but we cry out to you, O God. We ask that you work in the children's chapel, Lord, through your Spirit, through your word, to minister to them at their age level, Lord. But that in all things that the lost will be saved, lives transformed, in your name to be praised. And in the name of Jesus Christ and for his kingdom, both today and forever, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So this is Asa is a king of Judah. And I want to put him in a little bit of context here for you. So you know who David is, right? David was about 1,000 years before Jesus, and it was one of Jesus' ancestors. In fact, we call Jesus the son of David, right? We may not do it, but if you read the Gospels, you know a lot of them did. Because God had promised to David and echoed the promise through the prophets that one of the descendants of David would be the hero, the Messiah, a better than David conquering champion, as we learned at VBS this week, the champion, the initiator and finisher of our faith. And so they were looking for a son of David. Now, the guy that was the physical descendant of David, that's Solomon. You may have heard of him. He's a really rich guy. Had some wisdom, didn't always use it. And so at the end of his life, the kingdom is divided. And 10 tribes go north, or state, they don't go anywhere, they just go their own way. They each did their own thing. And so those 10 tribes went, did their own thing. 2 tribes stayed loyal to the house of David, banking on the promise the Messiah is going to come from the line of David. And so that guy's name was Rehoboam, not a remarkably good individual. He erred on the side of foolishness, not listening to his father's wisdom, just as his father had done before him. His son, Abijah, it kind of depends on who you ask. He was okay, but not great. And then that brings us to Asa. So if you're doing the math, that lands him, you know, what, a great grandson of Solomon or something like that. But a little time has passed. The glory days have passed. The glory days both of the United Kingdom, of Israel, of wealth and prosperity, those are just a memory, as well as the memory of a time when they were devout to the Lord. Idolatry and just paganism. They went and followed after other gods instead of the true God. They had the most light and they turned away from it. And so by the time you get to Asa, they're needing some help. They're needing some help. And so this is where we pick up with chapter 14, and we're going to look at what's going on here. Because you remember what we read, we're going to see how this works in Asa's life. So chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, "So Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God." I'm going to pause right there in the reading because that's a significant phrase. You'll hear a lot of them. It says they did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. But here's one who we get a, he did do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Remember the time of the judges? Each one did what was right in their own eyes. Boy, that was a disaster. That ended poorly. But here's one who he wanted to know what God wanted and wanted to do what was good and right in God's eyes. And I think that is one that we should probably filter a lot of our decisions through, shouldn't we? Is this something that is good and right in God's eyes? And that takes some conversation and fluency in God's word to know. Because it may be different than what we grew up with. It was for Asa. Asa didn't grow up with knowing that naturally, because that's not how his dad acted. It's not how his grandfather acted. So he was going to have to know what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. So let's see what he did. Verse 3, "For he removed the altars of the foreign gods in the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images." He put away the idols. He put away the false gods. That's what everyone else had been doing for generations now. And he said, no, I know that's wrong. And we talked about in the last week or two about our idols. We talk about the sins that so easily ensnare us, because we want that happiness that comes from that. We want the safety that comes from that. But those things aren't real. They don't really give us what we need. They give us pleasure for a season. They give us happiness for just a season. They give us security for a season, but it's not. It's, as we've learned on Wednesday nights when we were going through Isaiah, it's like leaning on a flimsy stick. It's just going to break when you put your weight on it and just jab you in the hand. It's not secure. The Lord is the only one that's secure. And so he took away those things. Verse 4, "He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment." It's time to turn our attention to him, to seek the Lord. What is it that he wants? How do we seek the Lord? Right here. It's his word. He's written to us. His Holy Spirit inspired this word, preserved it through time so that we would have it here. His servants translated it into our heart language so that we can understand. That's why he talks about the law and the commandments there, is because that's what God's word was at their time. It's Genesis through Deuteronomy and the stories of Joshua up to this point. the writing prophets hadn't kicked in yet, Isaiah and those guys. And so seek the Lord and do what he says. For us, we've got the Gospels, we've got Paul's letters, we've got James, we've got Hebrews, we've got John, we've got all these here to give us a clearer view of what God was showing in the Hebrew Scriptures. So seek the Lord, God of our fathers. Observe the law and the commandment. Verse 5, he also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. And he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. The Lord gave him rest. A hedge of protection around the nation because they were obeying God. He promised it. It's in Deuteronomy there. If you will seek me, I will be found by you. But if you forsake me, you won't find me. And that was foretold in the law, and it was lived out by the book of Judges and Samuel and in those time periods. And so he begins this process. And the way these are written, we realize a lot of it is top down. What the king did, the people followed. We live in a different pyramid. Our king, the president, he follows us. And so if you wonder why we have the crap we have for presidents, it's because of who we are. I shouldn't have said that, I'm sorry. But we've been watching it. That's where you watch the news, you watch the media, you watch social media, there it is. I'm not talking about this president, I'm talking about for the past years and years and years. We've seen less and less attention to the things of God. And that's not a reflection of them, it's a reflection of us. That's why we need to hear these messages from God. Because the Lord is with you while you are with Him. It doesn't matter what they did back there, who are we? If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. We need to seek the Lord. And it starts with me. Because our founding fathers gave us the privilege of being the decider in that. We don't have to follow what's up. We need to follow Him. We need to have a king, don't we? We need to have a true king in Jesus Christ. That's where we need to be Him. Because that's where Israel and every nation on earth is alike. Is that God is supposed to be the true king. That was what made David special. Was he understood that David wasn't king. The Lord Jehovah was king. And that's what's supposed to make us as His church, as God's kingdom on earth now, unique, is that we follow the King, Jesus Christ. I may have gone to meddling, but this is where we're at. That's to be our allegiance. That's to be our priority. He is to have preeminence. And God will use circumstances to test that. And here's the thing. I want to then continue on in 2 Chronicles 14, now that I've given you the spoiler of where we're going with this, is that, so Asa does what is right. He gets things rolling in the right way. So it's going to be easy peasy from here on, right? The land is going to have rest. It's not going to have any troubles. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way because God's going to give them that time of rest, but then He's going to test. Because He knows how fragile our faith will be. Amen. If he just gives us all rose petals and puppy kisses, then we're not worth anything for faith. And so in the time of Asa, he sends an army, 1,000,000 men in 300 chariots, which seems like an odd combination there. But this huge army comes from what it says there is Ethiopia. Does God have anything against Ethiopians? No. Just as we saw in VBS, what made Israel the people of God? They believed God. That's what makes us the people of God, right? We believe God. It has nothing to do with ethnicity. It has everything to do with our heart. And so why was it that the Egyptians drowned in the Red Sea while the Israelites walked on dry ground? Because the Israelites believed God and the Egyptians did not. And here this 1,000,000 army comes from Ethiopia. They do not believe God. They've come to extinguish the true faith, to conquer them. And Asa knows that he is just a tiny little kingdom faced with this huge, seemingly innumerable foes. And so we want to see here verses 9 through 11 of 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against him with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. And he came to Marishah. So Asa went out against him. And they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephathah at Marishah. Don't worry about the geography. I don't know where it is either. Verse 11. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. It is not of the Lord. The Lord doesn't need us. So it doesn't matter if you've got all these people or you got nobody. Remember in the time of Gideon? He kept thinning out the army because it's like, you guys are going to try to steal my glory. Get on out of here. Go on. I need the worst. I need the least. And so he was left with just 300 ragtag people with musical instruments and torches. That was all he needed. 300 people who believed in him. Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. Amen. That is a desperate prayer, is it not? We've got nothing, but we represent you both in name and in character. And that's, you got to remember, oh, do we really represent him both in name and in character? That's what it needs to be, doesn't it? Otherwise, we're breaking one of the Ten Commandments. We're bearing the Lord's name in vain. We need to resemble Christ, or we better not call ourselves Christians. Amen. Against this multitude, our God, we go in your name. You are our God. There's no one else. There's not any other claim to fame, not any other claim of hope or help except you, O God. So show who you are, that man is nothing compared to you. And I love that verse 12 says, so the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Before they even got there, God took care of it. He just took care of it. And they started running. And we're going to see that a little later when we get to the next, his son, Jehoshaphat. But God just took care of him. And so the Lord provided, and that's where we get to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, that the Spirit came on Azariah. He was a prophet of God, and he went out to Asa and told him, the Lord is with you while you're with him. You see it now, right? You've seen the Lord with you. He has answered your prayers in a mighty way. Because you sought him, he was found by you. Don't forsake him, Asa. Do not forsake him, Judah. Do not forsake him, church. Do not turn from him. Because verse 3 is basically saying it's been a long time since we've had any revival, but you're just getting started. God has a lot more he wants to do if you'll just trust him. if you'll just trust him. And I like verse 7. It's not in the notes. Sorry, Scott. But verse 7 of chapter 15 says, "But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Do not grow weary, for your labor is not in vain if it is in the Lord. And so, with that word, what I love about this is verse 8 says, "So when Asa heard these words in the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and he just kept purging sin out of his life and out of those that where he had control, from out of his house, out of his nation." And it got personal because, there in verse 16, it says that he had to purge even his mother because she was worshiping idols, what God called an obscene image. And so she had to be removed from her title as Queen Mother. And he cut down the idol, crushed it, burned it, and let it wash away, flushed it down the Kidron. And so the end of verse 17 says, "Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal in all his days." In all his days. Because there in that time period, they made a covenant to seek the Lord, it says there in verse 12. And at verse 15, it says that Judah rejoiced, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him, sought God with all their soul, and he was found by them. He was found by them. And so from that time for, can't do the math real good there, but I think it's for about 20 years there, they had real good. So God's going to let them be tested again. God's going to let them be tested again to reveal what is in their heart. And so 2 Chronicles 16 says that this is what happens, that now the northern kingdom is starting to beat up on the southern kingdom. And it's like, oh man, we're getting beat up. What are we going to do? And Asa this time doesn't cry out to the Lord. Instead, he cries out to his neighbor and says, "Hey, will you beat up my other neighbor so that I don't have them beating up on me?" He made an alliance with those who were enemies of God to beat up on someone else instead of crying out to the Lord. Just because your enemy is an enemy to this person doesn't mean that person is your friend. Just because they're enemies with one another doesn't mean he's your friend. We've seen that in the scriptures, and we've even seen that in history. Just because Stalin was willing to help us beat Hitler doesn't mean Stalin was a good guy, right? And so the prophet is sent to him again. This is a different prophet. And so 2 Chronicles 16, verses 7 through 9. "At that time, Hanani, the seer," that's another word for prophet, "came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, 'Because you've relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand.'" You've had these previous victories, remember? Why did you have those victories? Verse 9, and this is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are loyal, whose hearts are perfect toward him." And I'm pausing there because this is the good point, right? The Lord is looking. Remember when we were talking about seeking the Lord? This is a picture of the Lord is seeking. He's seeking for someone who'll be loyal to him, who'll be faithful to him, someone who believes in him, who just trusts. And apparently, according to this verse, he's not looking just in one place, but he's looking all over the globe for people to look to him, to lean on him. Yeah, thank you, Lord, because that means it gets to include us. That means it gets to include you and me. The Lord is looking, seeking for that. So he can show himself strong on the behalf of those. Because the Lord is strong. We've forgotten that. I've forgotten that. He is mighty to save. He is powerful to bring repentance. He is able to turn the hearts of people like the farmer irrigates his fields. Just divert the water wherever he wants it to go. The Lord is able to bring fruit from any seeds that we sow, is what the Apostle Paul says. He's looking for that opportunity to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And this is my goal in my life, is to have the first half of that verse apply to me and not the last half. Because now you can look at the rest of verse 9 and see, in this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. I don't want to have that on my epitaph. In this you have done foolishly. Asa started well. Asa started really well. And now we see he has done foolishly. But the most foolish thing you can do is to have verse 10 written about you. Because he's now been confronted by the Lord through the Word of God, by the Spirit. We can either repent and come back to God, or we can harden ourselves against the Lord. And verse 10 says, Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. He hardened himself against God. And if you read the rest of the chapter, God took him out. He wanted the worst condemnations you find in the scriptures is that God's people hardened themselves against their God. And why should he be patient with them? They've had the most light and turned away from him. And this is where I'm going to meddle one more time. The United States has had that much light. And the Lord has no obligation to continue to be merciful or to bless, because we've turned from the greatest amount of light about any nation has had. And so that's why on this Independence Day, I'm thankful for what I have. Amen. We have been greatly blessed, past tense, but we do not deserve blessing. We deserve, the only blessing is for God to judge us, to chastise us, and that we would come back to him. And so that's why I'm chastising myself now in that, God, I need that kind of repentance. I need to turn from my wicked ways. I need to seek him. No matter what it is that's hindering. And like we said last week, there's some good things that we let become the most important thing, when instead we should be making sure the best thing, our relationship with God, is the most important thing. And so, you know, that's God's invitation to us. How are we going to finish? How are we going to respond when the prophet speaks? I'm not saying I'm a prophet of God in the sense of Hanani or Jehu or any of these guys, but I've read what they said. I've read to you what God has said in his word. So we have the privilege of responding. And so we're going to have a song of invitation. And whatever the Holy Spirit is saying now to apply these words to our heart and to our lives, it's a good time to respond. And it may simply be, okay, God, I surrender it all. You fill in the details through this week. But whatever it is, I pray that you respond as the Holy Spirit is prompting this morning. Will you stand?